One of the things, the last thing I wanted to talk about is our seafood education project that we did. And this, to me, was one of the most exciting things that we've done in a long time, and we see a real future with this. In 2 years ago, the Oregon Albacore Commission received a farm-to-school grant, and this was the first year that the farm-to-school grants were open to commodity commissions. And so we applied, and when we went through the paperwork, we decided, well, rather than just applying for the Albacore Commission, let's make this a stronger project and make it all of Seafood Oregon. And so if you're not aware, Oregon Legislature provided funding. Oregon Department of Ed manages the grant program. Department of Agriculture co-manages the grant program. And so we have Albacore Commission applied for and received the grant, worked with Seafood Oregon to include our fisheries, and we received just over $15,000. We did a pilot project in 2016-17 school year at Seaside Heights Elementary School with fifth grade students. We had three classes there, and our purpose was to educate the students about Oregon commercial fisheries, provide opportunities for them to learn about the seafood, and do some activities. So during the whole school year, we had fishery subjects. In salmon, we did In October, we did salmon. December was groundfish. January was Dungeness crab. March was albacore tuna. And in May, we did pink shrimp. So throughout the whole school year, we were exposing the students to our Oregon seafoods. Some of the activities we did on a Monday during that month, we had fishermen and processors come into the kids and give a presentation. We had slideshows, videos, we had posters. We created multidisciplinary activity books for each of the fisheries. And we had seafood tasting. We had, for salmon and albacore, take-home dinner bags. And the salmon had a trip to a hatchery. So, like, for the salmon presentation, we actually brought in a couple salmon. One was a wild salmon, and one was a hatchery fish that had its adipose fin removed. I had the kids walk around the room with gear, without hooks, to show what trolling is, that you're moving while your gear is in the water. And then one of the teachers actually smoked those two salmon, and so then the kids got to taste smoked salmon. We had crackers, and so that was a whole event for them. Then for the take-home dinner bag, each of the kids got a bag that has our Seafood Oregon logo on it. And so for salmon, we gave them two cans of salmon. We had the kids make salmon patties, burgers in essence, two cans of salmon, a sweet potato. And you go, well, what do you need a sweet potato for? Well, if you've made crab cakes or shrimp cakes or whatever, you always add a binder, which is typically an egg. I was not sending kids home from school with a raw egg in their bag. So my daughter suggested a sweet potato. I said, what do you mean sweet potato? She said, well, boil it up and put a tablespoon or two in each can, and that will act as a binder. Well, it was a lovely binder, and they're getting their sweet potato in it. And then for your breading, we did Ritz crackers. They crumble really well, and they come in the little short stacks for easy packing. And we gave the kids some seasoning packets and hamburger buns. And then the recipe was in Spanish and in English, and sent the kids home with the packet. I came in on a Friday and explained how to prepare this with the sweet potato and everything. And then each kid went home with their own bag and were able to prepare this. And so here we have one of the students there eating his burger, and they got very creative. I said, you know, do what you want with it, make it fun. And so they went from there. For sampling, as I said, for salmon, they got to sample smoked salmon, ground fish, smoked black cod was brought in. For Dungeness crab, the leg portion was provided. Albacore tuna, we did a tuna dip with crackers. And shrimp, we did a shrimp salad, like slider sandwich. The activity books, multidisciplinary. They've got vocabulary words, anatomy, word search, crosswords, reading comprehension, math, art, writing, public speaking, recipes, games, and songs. So we tried to make these as varied as possible for the kids to do. Like, here's one of the groundfish activity pages. It's a math page. Solve the problem and then color it according to the key at the bottom. And then you can see you end up with a trawler with its net behind the boat there. Dungeness crab, one of the art pieces was doing a origami crab. They did diameter and circumference of a paper crab pot. So there's some more math going in, and you can see one of the posters there. Albacore tuna, one of the math questions was, okay, fishing vessel Garibaldi has a hold on board that's 75% full of tuna. The hold measures 6 foot on each side. What's the capacity of the hold? And then how much cubic feet of fish are in the hold? And then if you have 2,570 pounds of tuna and you sell it for $1.25, how much money was the load worth? So we're talking some, you know, serious math, multi-step problems here. One of the songs in the tuna one, you know the song, "This Is Your Land, This Is My Land." Well, the gal who helped with a lot of these is a musician, so she created words to go with regular songs. "This is my tuna, my only tuna." No. "From California to Washington, da-da-da-da-da." And so the kids love it. The music is all in there. And for tuna, they got a take-home dinner bag again, another bag, and they were making a tuna pasta salad. So they got 2 cans of tuna, onion, red onion, bell pepper, carrot, a can of black beans, and those were donated by Truett Family Foods, the rotini, veggie pasta, Italian, a bottle of Italian salad dressing, and a recipe again in English and in Spanish. So here's some of the kids doing their tuna pasta. They loved it. And what was really great is we got some emails from some of the parents, and I have this paragraph everywhere I can possibly have it. One of the parents said, "Thanks again for sharing some local food with us and sending home a delicious meal with all the fixings. We enjoyed making it together, and Isaac was so proud. I believe that teaching a kid to cook is a vital part of growing up independent and healthy, and it's so fantastic that the school is supporting this while also supporting our local community and fishermen. Thanks so much." We've had a lot of media on this. National Social Studies Newsletter did an article about true value of local and sustainable seafood. National School Planning and Management Magazine had Sustainable Schools Boat to School. The Daily Astorian did an article about bringing seafood from boats to school. And then Grant McComey, who does his travel shows, he came when we did the the crab presentation. And so that's on his website, learning about crabs in boat to school. So the kids are pictured there, and that's part of it. Next steps, a lot of school districts have expressed interest in this. When I took the activity books to the Boston Seafood Show, a lot of the people there were going, "Oh, that's really cool." They liked the activity books and what they provided. And so our next step is we are redoing our Seafood Oregon website, and we're going to have pages for each of the fisheries with a PDF of the activity book, the PDFs of posters, the slideshows, the videos, resources, and all kinds of other things there so that any teacher, any parent, whatever, can download the seafood information so that they can learn more about it. And what I have for each of you is your own seafood bag with each of the 5 activity books. You can challenge yourself. And then we'll also put the 4 brochures that we have, the albacore, the crab, the salmon, and the pink shrimp. And these all tell the story of who we are, and these are books that we can hand out as we go to other events. So I'm going to open it to questions, and I'm going to be on the whole tour today, so I'll be available for questions. So I'm going to back off, and if you have questions of Yelena or Hugh, I'll leave that for your time, unless you had questions about this right now.
I have a question. Yes. Mr. Santa Maria here. I would like to know about the development of this educational material. It was part of the grant, or it's something that you already had? Because with the amount that you got, I don't think you can do that, even though, you know, it's a lot of work just to develop that material. So I would like to know what...
Thank you for that question. This is Nancy Fitzpatrick again. And yes, we did it. We actually returned about $400 of that money. We did not use it all. And yes, we did this. We contracted with Robin Maloney, wife of one of our albacore commissioners. She was a retired fifth grade school teacher, and she said, "I would love to do this." So for very little money, she basically created all of these activities in here and games, and she loved it. And I said, "Well, you know, there might be other commissions or whatever who might be interested in doing something like this." And she said, "Oh, I'd love to work with them."
Maybe I would need to contact her.
Exactly.
I need to know about another petition.
Does anyone have any other questions for any of our invited guests today?
Stephanie Halleck. Actually, I do have a tuna question. First of all, I have three tuna questions. One is, what's the season? Is there a season for albacore? Second question is, does Oregon have any other kinds of tuna? Or is there a particular reason why we focus on albacore? And my third is, can you use albacore in sushi?
Excellent questions. And albacore does not have a specific season, i.e. shrimp, crab, salmon do have specific seasons. It's basically when the water conditions change and get warmer that the albacore come in to where they're reachable for the fishing vessels. So there is no set season. And albacore is the only remaining fishery that is not limited entry. As Hugh said, there are only X number of permits. Salmon, there's only X number of permits. Trawl, the same. Albacore does not have a specific number of permits, and I know that's not one of your questions, but it's like I say, the season is just when the conditions change. And
my next question: are there other? Were there other?
Yes, sometimes some bluefin. I think very little. Yeah, very little. You know, a few, and those are the bluefin are the big hundreds of pounds ones that you see the Wicked Tuna Show. If you see that, albacores are one, and the albacore cruise around the Pacific, the whole Pacific Ocean. And your third question?
Was whether or not albacore could be used in sushi.
Yes.
But the nurseryman already answered the question.
Yes. In particular, when it is frozen on the vessel, that's sashimi grade, because the freezing process makes it such that it takes care of anything out there. So it is sashimi grade. Yes.
Thank you.
Good questions.
Thank you.
And, yes, we did have to rush through a lot of things. I mean, when I do a salmon and albacore talk, I talk for an hour and a half on just those two. So we condensed. So please ask whatever questions that helps us focus.
Tracy Liske, do you see, especially in your salmon, much of a issue with foreign vessel fishing?
You want to take that, Dwight?
It's a loaded question. Go ahead.
It is. And sometimes, I'm not going to say this too loudly, but sometimes we even blame some of the other fisheries. And whether they take some of the fish in their nets and reduce the availability for catching commercially with the hook and line, which we have to do. And it, I think most of the data shows that it's very small, that the amount of bycatch in the different fleets isn't much. And I think pretty much we're keeping any foreign vessels far enough off the shore that we don't, you know, it's not an effect when they're here. Whether it's a big problem with the salmon is, not sure exactly where they go and how they go. So, you know, I haven't heard, I know, you know, back in the 70s when we had a lot of the foreign vessels off the coast here, that it was a problem, but I think we've solved that somewhat. I would say the biggest reason for the decline in the fishery, even though you hear the word overfished, we're not overfishing the resource. The resource is no longer there because of, you know, we heard about climate change. We've heard about, you know, part of the problem is they're an adrenomous fish, so they got to come back up the streams to spawn. And so, I mean, some of the initiatives that have come out, you know, keeping clean water, keeping the sides and the banks of the rivers good, fertilizers, pesticides, you know, it is all of these things above that we're really having a problem with, dams, and then ocean conditions, the change in acidification in the ocean. There's just so many different things, and it becomes more habitat that's the biggest problem with the fishery.
Tracy Liske again. You know, one thing, I'm the farmer and I'm on the Klamath River, so I know a lot of your issues. But
you've got the issues.
Oh, we got the issues, yeah. But one of the things we hear, and I didn't hear in that list of things was your predation from your sea lions and those kind of things. And from where we see, that's a huge, huge issue.
You know, and it comes up in every one of our meetings, and it is Endangered Species Act with particularly the sea lions and the seals, that it's so difficult to get any type of legislation to allow even the taking of those animals. It's the same problem with, you know, we have a huge problem with a lot of the seabirds also, and we have the same difficulty in trying to keep them away from, you know, what we spend millions and millions of dollars in trying to get back into the streams that are taken by different predators.
Thank you. Can I? So, Stephanie Halleck, a couple of years ago I was working on a project having to do with the Elliott State Forest, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I had heard, I think, during that time that this region, this area that we're in right now, is one of the most productive habitat for coastal coho. Is that, am I remembering that right? Does anybody know who's here?
I'm going to take a stab at it, but it is true. I mean, we still have, you know, all these coastal streams, which, some hatcheries and some without hatcheries, but the habitat is huge. And even though we do have a small coho fishery, commercial coho fishery, by and large, it's been since the 90s, since
right.
It's been a very productive run. So, I mean, they haven't come back in a lot of years, and so we're still working hard to make those changes and learn more on how the hatcheries can help or hurt the different runs also.
And Nancy Fitzpatrick, it used to be out of Pacific City, you know, where they take the dory boats right through the surf. Coho was their only thing they fished for. When my husband and I started there mid-70s, it was coho. And then coho had concerns, so we were not allowed to catch those. And the fishermen there had to learn how to catch Chinook, which is a whole different type of fishing. And the coho are coming back, but we have a relationship with the recreational fishermen that commercial basically said, we'll give you the coho until the coho come back to X level, then we'll get a portion of them. And we just figured it was not worth our time or effort to target the coho, and so we basically just do the Chinook at this point.
Alexis Taylor, I have a question actually, I think maybe more for Mike or Crystal. You both just talked about some of the challenges with labor, but then also fishing vessels. And I guess, I don't know, for Mike, are you just ground fish, or does those seasons change, and are boats fishing multiple things throughout the year? How does that kind of picture look for owners of boats and those crews that work on them?
Come to the mic and state your name just so we have it in our minutes.
Yeah, Michael Rutherford. We participate in multiple fisheries. We do Dungeness crab in the wintertime. We do the bottom trawl, and we also do midwater trawl. And then April 1st to May 1st is the, you know, anticipation of our shrimp fishery. And so we do that for the months basically leading back into the ground fishery. And so we'll do the Winona J, that's the boat that I operate, one of the boats that I'm owner in. And we're going to be finishing up pink shrimp, and then we'll target widow rockfish, and then once crab is ready to go, because that start date changes based on the quality of the crab as well. So we'll go right into that fishery, and then from there back into the ground fishery. So we stay busy all year.
Thank you.
Nancy Fitzpatrick. I was just going to say that a lot of the boats that I work with, they fish salmon, they fish albacore, and they fish crab. So they do the multiple ones. Salmon, usually it's an individual captain, more than likely without a crew. Albacore, because it gets so frenetic out there, will typically have a crew or two, and definitely crab will have crew. And so whether they can maintain them through the year or whether they have to get new ones for each different fishery is a question.
All right, we're about 8 minutes away from leaving. So we, if there's any other questions, just mingle around here for a few minutes and give us a few minutes to go back to our hotel rooms or do whatever we need to do. So thank you again to the local panel. We really appreciate it. We really value insight from different regions when we travel around, and it was great. Thank you.
Nancy Fitzpatrick again. Do you know where you're going? Okay, good. I have some maps. I figure some of you will be carpooling together. But when you leave the casino, turn left, and the first signal you hit is Newmark. Turn right and go all the way down Newmark, and it will take a left turn. And follow that. You can't get lost. It'll take a left turn, and you just follow that road. It'll cross a bridge, and you'll see Chuck's on the right. I haven't turned yet. You'll turn right at Chuck's. You'll see it there, but I've got a map here, and then we're going to turn on Kingfisher, and to the first dock there we'll meet. Jamie Doyle is our local Sea Grant agent, and she's going to lead us on a tour. So, like I say, go out of the casino, go left, first signal, go right, and go all the way on that. It'll dead end, turn left, and we'll get there. But I've got some maps for anyone.
5 minutes after the hour of 1 o'clock, we'll meet back.
Can we
Out
at the lobby.
Just in the lobby. Yep, so 10 minutes.
Just wait for us in the lobby.
Yeah, we can.
Can you leave stuff here?
Yes, you can. Yes, you can leave stuff in the room, and we're going to meet in the lobby and caravan following Nancy.
Awesome. Thank you.